Today we are starting the last chapter of 1 Peter. As we've gone through the epistle of 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter has helped us to know how to live in the last days and that the fiery ordeal that we face is for our benefit. We know that the current hardships help us to become more dependent upon God, as well as helps us to live life on this earth with a longing for heaven. And today we will see three commands, one to the elders of the church or church leaders, another to those who are younger, and another to everyone in the church. It is the third command that I feel led to emphasize today, but of course we'll look at all three as we examine 1 Peter chapter 5. So if you have a copy of God's Word, I encourage you to find 1 Peter chapter 5, and we will look at the first five verses together today. It says in verse 1, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness to the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory about to be revealed. Shepherd God's flock among you, not overseeing out of compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not out of greed for money, but eagerly, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. In the same way, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let's pray. Father, as we think about your word today, we ask that your Holy Spirit would guide our discussion, that you would lead us to know the knowledge of your truth, and Father, that you would be glorified in what is said and done today. Lord, we ask that you would help us to understand what it means, these three commands, especially as we understand what it means to be humble with each other and to not be proud, because you do indeed resist the proud, but give grace to the humble. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for what it means to us and how it guides us and lets us know how to be in relationship with you. And I ask your blessings on everyone that listens to this, and that you would help us as we try to be more like Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, as we look at these commands that Peter gives, we also need to look in the way that he gives those commands. He does so as a fellow elder or a fellow church leader. And I find it significant that he's not calling out his apostleship. He says as a fellow elder. He's not saying as the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ or as one of the 12 disciples. He's not exalting himself above the other pastors or elders, but is taking the role of an equal. You know, he could have said that he's the apostle or that he is one of the 12 disciples, or even reminded us that he was one of the inner three that spent the most time with Jesus. But rather than giving his credentials that would exalt himself above other church leaders, he is addressing the elders of the church as a fellow elder. Now, I want to mention that this word elder that is used here in him describing himself as a fellow elder and exhorting the elders among the churches that would receive this letter, that word elder is a word that we would typically translate maybe as pastor or bishop. But the command here is not just to those that would be in vocational ministry, but I believe that the command here includes lay leaders. But this command that, or this first command here in 1 Peter 5 that we're looking at, is especially applicable to pastors. And so this command that he gives is to shepherd God's flock. And he gives some descriptors there, or, you know, some clauses, if you will, or some ways in which we are to shepherd God's flock as pastors. So it's not out of compulsion, but willingly. So an elder must not serve out of obligation or out of compulsion, in that they feel an obligation to to shepherd God's flock. And in that, the pastor must not let ministry become a job. And that can be the case, that sometimes in ministry it becomes a job rather than a calling. And so the minister or the pastor must be willing in his service to the Lord, in the role of pastor. And he must have the idea of serving with a wholehearted desire to serve the Lord in the calling that he has been called to. And that is that calling to serve the Lord, whether it is a children's minister or a music minister, youth minister, associate pastor, senior pastor, whatever the role is, and especially in a vocational ministerial role, it ought to be willingly and not out of compulsion, not in a situation where you feel like you're doing it just because you're obligated or you're getting paid to do it, but with a wholehearted desire. And so he not only tells us not out of to shepherd, not out of compulsion, but willingly, but he also says that we should not do it out of greed for money, but eagerly. Now, thankfully, many churches have policies in place that prevent ministers from having an opportunity to embezzle money. And I'm thankful that our church has those policies in place as well. However, there are still situations in this day and age where TV preachers, as well as others, are always seeking more money from their people. And so there shouldn't be the idea of a pastor or a shepherd always asking for money for his ministry. Now, I think that a pastor can encourage people to give and not get into a situation where there's a greed for money, because he's not asking for the money for himself, but the money for the ministry to be able to minister to those around us. Now, there are, of course, those that want the seed money to embellish their lavish lifestyle. But when we think about ministry and shepherding God's flock, we should not be in a leadership position with a motivation for money, but the motivation should be to please the Lord and not for what we can get out of it, monetarily speaking. And so the elder, the pastor, should shepherd eagerly with a motivation to be pleasing to the Lord and not because he can get money out of it. And then he also says to shepherd the flock of God, not lording it over the people, but as an example. You know, I've heard oftentimes of ministers who have been a bully or a dictator to their parishioners, and this should never happen. It should never be in a church, and it should never come out of God's called man to be a dictator to the people that the Lord has called him to serve. He should never be one to say, do as I say, but he should be one that lives out the Christian life in a way that says, do as I do. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1 encouraged the Corinthians by saying, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. And so it boils down to this: when we think about the calling of the pastor, that he shouldn't be a dictator, he shouldn't be after money for it, and he should definitely not do it out of a sense of obligation, but out of a sense of calling. And so as we think about these clarifications of what a shepherd should do as he shepherds the flock of God, how the minister ought to do among them, we can conclude that vocational ministry should never be done out of a human decision or out of human motivations, but it is a calling to be a shepherd. You know, a shepherd is to not be in front of the sheep or behind the sheep driving them, but to walk among the sheep as an example, as we see here in 1 Peter 5. But in verse 5, the Apostle Peter tells the people to be subject to the elders. And so verse 5 of 1 Peter 5 says, in the same way, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Now, this is a command from Scripture. It's not coming from me, but it's coming from the Word of God. Look at what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13, verse 17 and 18. He says, obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls as those who would give an account, so that they can do this with joy and not with grief. For that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are convinced that we have a clear conscience, wanting to conduct ourselves honorably in everything. So as we think about 1 Peter 5, 5, as well as Hebrews 13, 17, and 18, we see a command from Scripture that the people of the church should obey the church leaders and submit to them. You see, the elders or the pastors and church leaders will give an account to the Lord for how they lead and watch over those that the Lord has entrusted to them. And so we as pastors, we need to walk carefully and underneath the heavy burden that we answer to the Lord for how we lead His church, how we treat His people. And so there's not always going to be agreement between pastors and every church member. But I fully believe if we follow verse 18 of Hebrews 13, that the Lord will bless the church. He says, pray for us, for we are convinced that we have a clear conscience, wanting to conduct ourselves honorably in everything. So I think, you know, the church has the obligation to pray for its pastors. And of course, the pastors have the obligation to conduct themselves honorably in everything. And I'm convinced that I have a clear conscience for how I have conducted my ministry up to this point. And it is my desire to continue to conduct myself honorably. And so I invite you to pray for me and to pray for all of our staff. And so I have found that, you know, when I have a conflict with someone and I pray for that person, God does the work to bring resolution to my issue. So either the Lord will work in me, work in the other person, or He will work in both of us. And so I encourage you to pray. Pray for me. Pray that I would have wisdom to know how to lead the church. Pray that I would walk in holiness and in purity and righteousness, that I would be a living sacrifice to the Lord each and every day. Pray that the Holy Spirit would anoint me, fill me, lead me, guide me, and that I can effectively lead the church as the Lord has called us to go, and that I would be so in tune with the heart of God that there wouldn't be any question to how He's leading, and that I would myself walk in humility as well. Because the last command that He gives us here in 1 Peter 5, 5 is for all of us. He says, all of you. He's not just including exclusively to the elders, but also to those that are in the church that are not elders, that all of us are to clothe ourselves with humility. And so the last part of verse 5 says, all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So we have a command here to clothe ourselves with humility toward one another. And He gives a reason why we should clothe ourselves with humility, because God gives grace to the humble. It is with humility that we first go to Jesus asking to be saved. But humility does not stop there. It continues for the rest of our lives. God expects us to be humble. Now, I may be getting ahead of myself, but I want to clarify here that humility is not downgrading yourself. Humility is not thinking of yourself. And so we need to understand that. And we need to think of ourselves last. In fact, I think it is even best that we don't even think of ourselves. You know, God expects us to be humble if we're followers of Christ. And Jesus is the only one that can claim to be humble and still be humble. But look in Matthew 11, verse 29. Jesus said, "Take my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus said that he is humble in heart. And as followers of Christ, we should be like Jesus. We should desire to put Christ and others ahead of ourselves, just like Jesus did. And you know, if we will do that, if we learn from Christ, follow him, and do like him, we will find rest for our souls, as he said in Matthew 11, 29. But let's look at another passage of Scripture. In Philippians 2, we see in verses 3 through 11 that we're told, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not to his own interest, but rather to the interest of others. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity, and when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Christ Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we are told to follow Christ's example of humbling ourselves. And of course, we have the example of Jesus humbling himself to death on a cross. And he died for us. God himself died for the ungodly. And the Father is going to exalt the Son, of course, as Scripture states here. But we must, as followers of Christ, adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. You know, if those that claim to follow Christ and be saved, and if they would follow Christ and walk in humility as Christ walked in humility, it would solve 99.99% of our problems that we have with other people. Notice again what 1 Peter 5:5 tells us that God resists the proud. Now, there are several implications to this statement here that God resists the proud. First of all, prayers of the proud will be resisted, and that God will resist their prayers. He will not answer them. Secondly, we know that God opposes the proud. And that's kind of the idea behind resisting, that God is opposing that proud person. And so, in other words, if you are proud, God is against you. Now, while it is not impossible for a saved person to have sinful pride, it is impossible for a proud person to get saved. That is because we must humble ourselves before God to be saved. So as we look at these first five verses of 1 Peter 5, telling the elders of the church to shepherd the flock of God among them, telling the flock to submit to the under-shepherds, and then telling all of us to walk in humility, we can sum it up in this, that if we'll put Jesus first, others second, and us last, everything will work out according to God's will, and that we'll have peace. We'll have peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, the dissensions, the wars, the fightings, they happen when somebody forgets to be like Jesus and walk in humility. So let's commit today to walk in humility, to each of us do our part that God's called us to, and let us support each other with prayer and by ministering to each other And may the Lord be glorified in and through each of us, and especially in and through His church. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for how it teaches us not only about Your grace and Your love and Your mercy, but also it teaches us how to live among each other and how to be like Christ. So, Lord, we ask You to help us to walk in humility. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.